This is Chef John Foles welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio, and inviting you to join us at the kitchen table for another hour of adventures in food. Each week, we travel from the back roads of Louisiana to the streets of Europe's capitals, delving into food. We talk with chefs, food historians, authors, and producers. We search out current trends, revive forgotten traditions, and of course, we're going to cook for you. Winters in Louisiana are sweet. I'm talking about sweet satsumas, Meyer lemons, ruby red grapefruit, clementines, and my favorite blood oranges. Now, folks, isn't that better than building a snowman? Join me, Chef John Foles, and Paul Becknell of Paul Becknell Citrus Nursery as we talk Louisiana citrus on Stirring It Up next. But first, the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Secretary of State John Kerry is defending U.S. efforts to broker a peace deal between the Israelis and Palestinians. As NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson reports, Kerry told counterparts at an international security conference today both he and President Obama are still hopeful the efforts will succeed.
Kerry told the conference he's surprised at people who characterize American efforts regarding the peace process as being obsessive.
We're working hard because the consequences of failure are unacceptable.
A U.S. official said earlier that the Obama administration hopes to complete a framework accord in the coming weeks. That framework is expected to address core issues in the conflict, including borders, refugees, and Jewish settlements. The Obama administration hopes to negotiate a final peace deal by the end of the year. Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News, Munich.
At the same conference, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon today called on the warring sides in the Syrian conflict to return to the negotiating table with more seriousness and urgency.
The negotiations must not be used as a tactic to delay the end of fighting.
Ban called on Secretary of State Kerry and his Russian counterpart to use their influence to get Syrian talks started again on February 10th. At least seven people have been wounded in the Thai capital Bangkok on the eve of general elections. The election is opposed by critics of the government who want the current prime minister to step down immediately. Michael Sullivan has more from Bangkok.
Tension had been building in the Lak Si district in the north of the city all day, as anti-government protesters surrounded a district office, preventing the distribution of ballot boxes to a nearby polling station. Government supporters then flocked to the area, and that's when the fighting began. Witnesses say several gunmen on both sides appeared heavily armed. The hour-long gun battle bodes ill for Sunday's general election, which protesters have vowed to disrupt, despite a large police presence and an increased army presence in the capital as well. The protesters, drawn largely from the traditional Thai elite and middle class, want Prime Minister Yingluck Shinawat and her brother deposed Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawat banned from Thai politics, accusing the family of corruption. For NPR News, I'm Michael Sullivan in Bangkok.
Residents in Hong Kong rang in the Chinese New Year Saturday with an extravagant fireworks display over Victoria Harbor. 2014 is the Year of the Horse. The holiday is celebrated at the turn of the Chinese lunar calendar. It's also known as the Spring Festival, the translation of the modern Chinese name. Former Chicago Mayor Richard Daley is hospitalized in intensive care. His spokeswoman says Daley was returning from a conference in Arizona yesterday when he began feeling ill during the flight. This is NPR News in Washington. Oscar winner Maximilian Schell has died. NPR Sam Sanders reports the star was more than just a renowned actor.
Maximilian Schell was nominated for an Oscar twice and won a Best Leading Actor Oscar for portraying a German defense attorney in the classic 1961 film Judgment at Nuremberg.
Should Ernst Jannig have carried out the laws of his country? Or should he have refused to carry them out and become a traitor? This is the crux of the issue at the bottom of this trial.
Schell was born in Vienna, but raised in Switzerland. His family left Austria following the country's annexation by Germany. In addition to his illustrious acting career, Schell performed as a concert pianist with the Berlin Philharmonic and the Vienna Symphony. He was also a conductor. Schell was 83 when he died, following what's been described as a brief illness. Sam Sanders, NPR News.
The Denver Broncos take on the Seattle Seahawks in Super Bowl 48 tomorrow night in northern New Jersey. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says having the game in the area has been a big success.
Talked to a lot of the team owners, a lot of folks from the NFL. They love the experience they're having in New York. It's been a total success. We're going to finish hard, finish strong, make sure it goes well.
Newark Liberty International Airport is beefing up security in anticipation for tomorrow's Super Bowl. Police are adding 24 additional bomb-sniffing dogs at the airport. The weather is expected to cooperate. The National Weather Service says it will be in the 30s at the 6:25 kickoff at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford. I'm Windsor Johnston, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, a source for what works in education. Learn more at edutopia.org.
For the finest in classic ska, rock steady, rockers, DJ, dance hall, and dub, it's Jamon. Cecil here, bringing you Southwest Louisiana's longest running reggae tradition, Jamon. Jamon, Sunday nights from 9 to 11 p.m., or Saturday mornings from 1 to 3 a.m., and streaming live anytime at krvs.org.
Chef John Falls welcoming you to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. From the swamps and bayous of South Louisiana, thanks for joining us in our little piece of culinary heaven where good cooking is just a way of life. Mornings begin here with a roux simmering in a cast iron pot, and our evenings end with thoughts of what we're going to cook tomorrow. All right, everybody, welcome to Stirring It Up, the best tasting show on radio. Thank you for joining us at the kitchen table today. I'd like to introduce and welcome Michelle York, our executive producer. How's the new year treating you?
So far, so good.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, so far, so good. Well, getting really started on that vegetable book.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing. My black-eyed peas and cabbage hadn't kicked in for good luck for me yet. I'm going to tell you, I'm desperately waiting for them to kick in.
No health or wealth yet?
No health or wealth for me. Things have been downhill, I'm going to tell you.
Maybe you didn't eat enough.
Been eating them every night. No, things are good. Thank God everything's great for us. I hope it's great for you as well.
Thank you. It is.
Across the glass wall, Dean Slam, our engineer, keeping the sound balanced, music dynamic, good sound coming out of that today. What's going on, Dan?
And not too much. Is it too early to say that the weather's picking up this year?
I think it's a little bit early yet because we hadn't killed the second hog.
No, we
see, I mean, the calendar demands the hams go into the smokehouse and the chops are put away and shared with neighbors. The salt meat is in the crock, and then we can start looking at warmer weather.
Well, that sounds like health and wealth right there, all rolled into one.
Well, yeah, but that's expected.
That's expected.
It's not like getting that letter from that great great aunt that passed away, leaving you a little something other than a fruitcake. Huh?
Yep. But you'd love a fruitcake.
Oh, I love a fruitcake, no doubt about it.
By the way, happy Chinese New Year.
I'll tell you what, I celebrated last night.
You did?
That's right, absolutely.
Year of the horse.
I thought it was the year of the pig.
Nope, not till 2019. Sorry, you got to hold on.
Oh, that's me, you know.
5 more years.
I thought I was the dog, but I guess I'm the pig on my birthday.
I think you are year of the dog.
I'm the dog? I thought so.
I'm the monkey.
Anyway, so hey, the year of the pig is coming around, and that's what I'm waiting for. Needless to say, anyway, what else happening there, Miss York?
Is that an orange for me? Did you bring me that?
You know, citrus is... I don't know about you, but you got citrus trees in your yard, huh?
I had a harvest this year, I'm proud to say.
Five. Nothing more beautiful.
Not one, not two, but five mandarins on my tree.
Five mandarins, that's right. If I had five mandarins on my tree, I'd cut it down.
Obviously, you have not read scripture.
I have the biblical, as scripture said, if the tree bears no fruit, cut it down and throw it into the fire.
Well, did you not hear what I said? What? I got five mandarins.
Five. Like I said, I think that was the tree Jesus was talking about, huh?
I was some excited.
Anyway, no, it's been a great, great year for citrus, no doubt about it. And what you're looking at right here is my Louisiana Moro blood oranges. That's what you're looking at, the blood oranges. And look, this is at White Oak Plantation in my little Garden of Eden. This is the tree of the forbidden fruit.
I bet it
this
is.
This is the tree of the forbidden fruit. Let me tell you something. You better not dare touch it. Otherwise, it'll be fig leaves for you.
And those itch. Those are very, you know, David Harris had a lot of grapefruit on his tree.
It's a great year for citrus.
And I mean tree. I don't know how he harvests up at the top, but I know I got some grapefruit.
Well, I know one thing. I just get a 10-foot ladder. I get a 10-foot ladder, and I get my tallest gardener, the one that's 6'1". I say, get on top of that ladder. We'll steady it for you down here. Anyway, it has been really a great year for citrus so far, and some of that sweetness can be the result, of course, of an early little cold snap when the temperatures dip around freezing for a very, very short period, say just like one night. Mm-hmm. It affects the chemistry of the fruit, making it less acidic, high in sugar. Trouble happens when you have a sustained freeze. That's when you have the trouble, when that temperature goes way below freezing, which we don't often have here.
In fact,
one of the problems we have with a lot of fruit trees in Louisiana, we don't have enough of that cold time to go ahead and set that fruit and flower, which is why, you know, not all olives grow here, peaches, you know, whatever. But anyway, our citrus crop is always at the whim of Mother Nature. The past few years have been very hard on them. But citrus staying afloat here in Louisiana, and as you can see from these here, this beautiful untouchable basket of...
I thought I had one.
I'll give you one.
Well, I'll take it. So here's a quiz.
Okay.
Which factor do you think is the most detrimental to our citrus crops?
Is this a first grade question, a kindergarten
question? Let me give you the options.
Okay.
Flooding.
Yeah.
We're very wet climate.
Yeah.
Pests.
Yeah.
We've got those.
Right.
Or freezing.
Well, we know from experience it's got to be freezing.
We know from experience.
We know from experience. When freezing comes, it wipes out our crop.
But so. How often does that happen?
Well, I mean, fairly often. Too often to not worry about it. I'm going to tell you right now.
You'd think with the blistering hot weather that we do get here that freezing would not be a concern for our citrus crops. But you'd be wrong. Every 10 years, just as you said, temperatures drop into the killing zone. And because of the acreage that's lost as a result, freezing is the major long-term threat to all of our citrus trees.
Well, there are really only two zones here in Louisiana where citrus grows, but zone one in the southeastern tip of the state is where citrus really thrives. And y'all, you know what we're talking about, Plaquemine Parish, Terrebonne Parish, Lafourche Parish. If you live in those areas, you're going to see that's where the heavy growers are. They're sandwiched between the Mississippi River levees and the marshlands. It's like being between, let's say, a rock and a hard spot. You know what I mean? At first, it was Katrina, and then it was Hurricane Isaac. According to LSU Ag Center, 64% of the state's citrus crop was impacted by not only when you do get into those freezers, but certainly because of the area that our greatest citrus crops are in, we have the greatest impact of hurricanes, especially Isaac was the one, the worst one. The dollar amount that came out of, I think we had almost a 40% loss in our citrus crop just with that one hurricane. So freezing will get us, and even though the best part of the state is the area I just mentioned, it's also the state, you remember, Plaquemine Parish is where the biggest devastation was for the hurricane.
So, over and over again.
Rock and hard spot, I say.
Do you remember Marianne Waterstrat?
I remember Marianne Waterstrat.
She used to do all the canning. I used to love the way she would describe things that she had canned. And she'd say, oh, this came from the citrus tree that had its tap root right there with a toe in the Mississippi River. And the Mississippi River is only a few feet away from thousands of citrus trees. Attrition is happening at a far too rapid pace. You know, years ago, the citrus crop here in Louisiana covered between 2,000 and 3,000 acres. There were 800 acres before Isaac, and now we're down to about 500 acres. Can you believe that?
Crazy, crazy.
Fortunately, though, our citrus planters are a dedicated lot of people, and they're determined to see that these crops survive and that they thrive on into the coming years and decades. Some of the citrus growers, generational, they go back several generations, and in fact, entire families work in the business.
And the citrus that grow in Louisiana, that grows here in Louisiana, is always exceptional. When we do have great citrus crops, it is of the best flavor, size, range of flavors you can imagine. We have a great variety. I mean, to start with, satsumas. I call them saddies for short. Tangerines, clementines. Sometimes a little confusing to know what is what. The satsumas originates from Japan, while clementines are coming from Africa, from Algeria. But they're all part of the mandarin family. Then there's my favorite citrus of all, the Moro blood orange with that red flesh and that hint of raspberry.
Love the blood orange.
Oh, I did a blood orange ratafia. That's another whole show. Infusing brandy with the Moro blood orange, and the color and the flavor of that ratafia is incredible.
But you do it with a lot of citrus, too, not just the blood orange.
Yeah, but the blood orange just did something incredible. That's a whole other story. That's a whole other show we got to do on ratafia. The red color is the result of a flavonoid pigments you see in red and purple fruit that protects the body from disease as well. These are very uncommon in citrus, except for that blood orange. And last year, Michelle, I harvested so many blood oranges, I decided to go ahead and juice like about 10 gallons of a blood orange fruit that I juice that I was going to make some different things with. Put it in the freezer. And then one day I told my pastry chef, because the freezer went out for about 8 hours, I said, David, go in there and kind of see if you see anything that's not any good and throw it away.
I remember that day.
Yeah, it was a sad day.
That day lives in infamy.
That's right. And when I got out of Lady Lake Regional Medical Center after 3 days of being strapped down, I was able to just wish for next year. And here it is.
Here it is.
And that's exactly right. Anyway, I love blood oranges.
And what about Meyer lemons? Those gorgeous giant lemons, cross between a lemon and a mandarin orange. I love them. I have one of those trees in my yard. They originated in China as house plants,
right.
And it wasn't until the 1900s that Frank Meyer, who was an agricultural explorer, what a great title, agricultural explorer, discovered the species and introduced it to the U.S.
Oh, man, I love to make limoncello with that one, another great liqueur, limoncello. You know, talking about Meyer lemons and our local citrus makes me think about our citrus triptych at Revolution Restaurant, the Meyer lemon sponge pudding with the grapefruit cake and lemon curd and satsuma sorbet all on the same plate. Can you imagine that? Tangy, sweet, delicious. Folks know you have to have some of your own favorite recipes and ways to enjoy the bounty of local citrus, and I'm sure you do too. All the reason more to respect what these planters do and try to do to protect and preserve the trees and acreage for future generations. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Everybody works really hard in this industry. I can say that at White Oak Plantation, the orange trees, the blood orange trees, the lemon trees are so overpacked with fruit, the limbs are breaking to the ground. But I can tell you something else, Michelle. The pear trees this year broke limbs. The persimmon trees this year, limbs cracked because of the variety and amount of fruit on the trees.
Wow.
Right now, the kumquat trees, I just picked 118 pounds of kumquats. You saw when I was making the ratafia. I make liqueurs, y'all, using infusing the fruit. I sent my guys out to two trees. They picked 6 5-gallon buckets of kumquats.
Good night.
And I put them in and I covered them with 36 gallons of brandy. 36, Llama.
36. I would say it's a wealthy and healthy new year.
That's exactly what I'm saying as well. Anyway, y'all, ain't we talking about citrus today? And wow, do we have the gurus of citrus in Louisiana here with us. You don't want to miss one word of this show. It's starting out to be a good one.
Grapefruit, a bathing suit.
Greetings. I'm Jake Hebert.
And I'm Adam Chouard. Join us every Friday at midnight for the Sound Club radio program.
Your home for left field pop gems from today to yesteryear.
Here on 88.7 FM KRVS.
Hi, I'm Pete Bergeron. If your day starts early, like mine does, let's spend it together with Cajun music from 5 to 7 a.m. here at Public Radio for Acadiana, KRVS, 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
She's my daughter, little daughter.
Everybody, welcome back to Stirring It Up, the best tasting food and culture show on radio. It's so nice to have you back with us. And Michelle, I think I'm going to cook mallard duck with maybe some satsumas. I got some mallards in the freezer. I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to use my oranges.
You've been inspired.
Maybe my blood oranges. I got some blood oranges. I think I'm going to, you might use those as well. I just have a mallard duck and orange.
En vie today
is what I have. Anyway, we have a great guest with us on the show today, and a guy I admire a lot, his family I admire a lot. Why don't you introduce him, Michelle?
I'd be happy to. We have Paul Becknell of Paul Becknell Citrus Nursery with us today. He's a native son, born and raised in Belchase, has citrus in his blood. He's a fifth-generation citrus farmer, works in the family business that was started by his great-great-grandfather. Paul himself started working in the business with his dad at a very early age, and in 1984, he struck out on his own and started Paul Becknell Citrus Nursery. He grows and sells 15 varieties of citrus fruit that he provides to the local roadside markets and stands. He has customers in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, all along the Gulf Coast. Keeps the Louisiana citrus heritage alive by selling these trees. The citrus family tradition is in its sixth generation now because Paul's son manages the family roadside stand on Highway 23.
Wow, wow.
Paul, welcome to Stirring It Up. It is an honor to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. Good morning to y'all.
And Paul, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. I mean, I know farmers all day and all night are worried about their crop and always thinking about making sure that everything's exactly the way it needs to be, fighting nature all the time. And how's the season this year? How's things going for y'all?
We've had an awesome season. The fruit is extra sweet, juicy. We had a very calm hurricane season, thank goodness.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
We was able to finally have a break with Mother Nature, and the harvest is just beautiful, delicious, and sweet.
Well, Paul, you know, I was telling Michelle earlier that everybody who has a citrus tree in their yard is absolutely, I mean, branch breaking, you know. So it must have been a really good year. And you mentioned the hurricane season. Is that part of the reason? What made citrus so great this season?
Well, I think it's combined. The hurricane season last year, of course, we had Isaac, and it knocked off that three-day storm, probably 50% of our crop. And then 10 days later, another 20% probably fell off from wind damage, from thorns, the oranges swinging and hitting thorns. So the fruit was off the tree early. We had a real good spring, a good summer with a lot of rainfall, and with a mild hurricane season, all of that combined is everyone's enjoying just a bumper crop of beautiful, delicious, sweet oranges.
Paul, how's the market for our produce outside of the state?
It's really good. We got a lot of small markets. Mississippi in particular is one that just really loves our Satsuma product, and they can't get enough of it. It's something that you can't buy just anywhere because it's very labor-intensive to harvest. Everyone's got to be clipped by hand with a clipper, so you got a lot of labor. A lot of people doesn't want to fool with it, but that's one of our little niches that really helps us get in the market.
Paul, as if weather factors, as you mentioned, aren't enough, what are some of the other unique dangers to our citrus crop here in Louisiana or to our even homegrown citrus trees? What's the perils here in Louisiana?
Unfortunately, in the last 8 years, they have come up with three new problems here in Louisiana. First one being citrus greening, which is transferred from tree to tree by a small insect. Then we had a fruit problem, citrus scab disease, SOS, and that affected the fruit. And in the last 8 months, they found disease canker. That's a viral disease that's transferred through wind and water. We have been getting a lot of good help from our local, state, and federal people to try to help us through these problems. Our local government, twice a year, sprays aerial to try to keep that little bug that transmits the citrus greening, as the citrus psyllid. The SOS, we have put in new equipment in our packing sheds to disinfect and also wax to put a coating on it to make sure that it is perfectly good for the public. And with the canker, we're working with the federal government right now and trying to get some help with them. So through all of our governments realizing that this is a very long-standing business here in Louisiana, a lot of money is generated through taxes, they're really helping and supporting us. And we can't thank them enough.
That's fantastic. I know I have, I was telling Michelle, I have a beautiful tree that I got. In fact, it came from y'all, and it's been growing beautifully for the last 3 or 4 years, right outside the studio door. Last year, it was so full of fruit. This year, it's so full of fruit. But about 2 months ago, all of a sudden, all of this black stuff started to happen on the leaves, and all of the fruit as it started to turn golden was just covered with these black splotches on the fruit. I couldn't wash it off. I started to panic. I said, what's going on with my tree? What happened out there? Tell me what I should have done.
If it couldn't be washed off, it was kind of a bronzy black color that was probably caused from an insect called the citrus rust mite, and that needs to be taken care of way early in the season. It's a real small insect that sucks on the rind, and when the fruit gets ripe, it'll turn a color. Now, if you really scrubbed on the fruit and the black soot came off, that was caused from a sucking insect, whether it be an aphid or a mealybug or something like that, and that's the secretions, and a sooty mold grows on it. And usually that can be washed off, whereas the citrus rust mite cannot be washed off.
Well, I tell you, I almost called you up and said, Paul, I need help over here. I have my one little tree, and I need...
but one good thing about it is they're both still very edible. They're going to be just as sweet. You just can't brag to your neighbor and say, look, I got you something beautiful. You might have to peel it first before you give it to them.
Well, you're right, because believe me, I wasn't about to not taste them. But the fruit in general on my trees, especially at White Oak, have been really good. Y'all, you put out some beautiful product. We'll have all of your information, obviously, on the website. And I encourage anybody looking for great trees to consider Paul right away, because they put out. I've never had anything come from you guys that just isn't absolutely fantastic.
I do have a website if they wanted to order a tree anywhere in the country, exception of a few states. We can't ship to Florida, California, Arizona, New Mexico, but we can ship to everywhere else, and it's lemoncitrustree.com.
Lemoncitrustree.com.
And they can get any one of my citrus trees. I've got three different sizes that is available, depending on the age, and we'll ship it to them straight to their front door.
You have blood orange trees this year?
Yes, sir.
Michelle, I'm telling you right now, I'm going down Highway 23. You can just start picking me out about 6 blood orange trees right now because I'll tell you, I'm coming to get them. Let me ask you something just for our listeners out there passing through or driving I-10 or whatever. We touched a little bit early on all of these different citrus trees, but you know, you talk about mandarins, you talk about satsumas, you talk about tangerines, what are some of the differences in these fruits, and is there any unique differences in flavor or size or whatever? What are you supplying over there, and tell us a little bit about the differences.
Oh yes, sir, they're all very unique, all have their little qualities that's special to them. Some of them are easy to peel, some of them have a few more seeds, but they all got their special little flavor. Some might be richer, some might be more acidic, like the Pekin Mandarin, easy to peel, has a few seeds, awesome flavor, gets ready about December 15th, somewhere around there. Sunburst Tangerine, it almost tastes like the Starburst orange candy that you buy in the store. Really strong, strong, flavorful, aromatic fruit. Every one of them has got their own little special, and we're proud of each one of them. Like I said earlier, at the roadside store, we got at least 15 different varieties every day of fresh fruit and over 30 varieties of the young citrus trees. And each one is just unique to themselves.
So if I wanted to really know what tree I wanted to grow, the best way to do it is just to come out there and eat one of the fruit and say,
we will let you taste any one you want. You can say, not so much. Oh, this is the one I want.
Now tell us exactly where are you located for? Because I know what's happening right now. People are saying, tell us where he's at. Tell us where he's at.
Well, if you're coming I-10 across the Crescent City Connection, if you're coming from the West Bank, you would take exit 7. That would put you down on Highway 23. You would take a left, and from there, it's about 18 miles south. Another landmark when you go through the Belle Chasse Tunnel is about 12 miles south of there. And then we got, of course, our Naval Air Base with the Big Blue Angel. That's about 8 miles south of there. So it's a straight shot when you get on Highway 23 off of the high-rise 90. I-10 becomes Highway 90. When you cross over Crescent City Connection. So you would come I-10 to Highway 90, get on Highway 23, which is exit 7, and it's a straight shot straight to me.
Just another question for our listeners. Those who are saying, well, I've never really grown a tree like that. If I go buy one, how do I know I'm going to have success with it? What are some of the, say, the hazards or some of the ideas you may want to give people coming your way? Do you also support them as they pick up trees to tell them how they should plant them, what type of soil to plant them in, et cetera?
We have, fertilizer at our store. We got the root stimulator. We got sprays and chemicals in case they want to purchase from us. The one thing I would recommend is that you got to be careful with the cold when you get north of the lake, especially the first few years in the ground. You got to protect them. If they want, they can put it in a beautiful container and move it in and out their garage, and it would do great for several years with no problem. Lemon trees, Meyer lemon is one of the best you can put on your patio for all those nice crab balls and crawfish boils. You pick it right off of your tree and throw it in the pot, you can't get any fresher. It adds a totally different flavor to your seafood boil.
I was telling Michelle a minute ago, the fruit from the trees I've gotten from you in the past, I make these liqueurs. I infuse brandy with citrus and everything from kumquats to the blood oranges to the mandarins. I mean, nothing makes better liqueurs than that beautiful fresh fruit right off of the tree. And I have to credit you a lot of times with the quality of the liqueurs that I have. I even have them in my restaurant in New Orleans over at Revolution. I have the Retiro.
You haven't sent me one yet, so I mean, I
promise you, I'm going to bring you a bottle of a couple that come off of your tree, and you can say this liqueur is made with my fruit.
There you go. That would be perfect.
I'm going to do it. I promise you.
Paul, I was telling John earlier that I had a harvest this year with my mandarin trees. I got 5.
Awesome. Hope you're not going to compete with me on the roadside.
Yeah, no chance of that. But I was excited that, you know, it finally produced. But how long does it take for a tree to bear fruit?
Well, they'll bear a lot of times in the first year, but what we recommend people to do is that first year or two, actually you should pull that fruit off. All of the energy would go into that fruit production, and the tree would just sit there. If you could pull that fruit off, and the third and fourth year, you're going to get much better quality fruit, and your tree is going to be much better established. So we recommend taking that fruit off the first 2 years.
Okay. I don't think I had fruit the first 2 years, so there was no problem there. But this was the fourth year, so I didn't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's perfect. That's just about time when they should start coming in. Next year, you should really have a good year. Fifth year is when you really can see a lot of production.
Well, that's good, because I also have an orange tree that's never done diddly.
Well, you must have not have come from Paul Becknell's.
It didn't. I don't think it did. I think John Foles lied to me when he gave me that tree.
Paul.
I think he was getting rid of a scrap.
Paul, I don't want to talk about him. Paul, I'm going to tell you right now. One day I went to the house and she had this new boyfriend.
John Foles
was out there planting trees, and those trees never bared a thing. She don't have him anymore, I don't think. But anyway, nothing. Now, it wasn't your tree, and I think it was bad planting.
It could have been. But no, we'll help them with the planting and everything when they come down. So everybody just come on down and give us a visit.
Well, look,
we're going to have to do that, because I have some needs of citrus trees.
No, well, we're going to come down again, y'all. We will have all of Paul's information. When you talk about Paul Becknell Citrus Nursery, 15 minimum varieties, I guess, of citrus fruits. Y'all have providing a lot of great fruit to the roadside markets. Again, they can tell you everything you need to know about growing. And any other trees besides, I realize citrus is in your name. Any other trees that y'all actually sell other than citrus and fruit?
We have some other fruit trees. We got fig trees. I grow the Asian persimmons. We got blueberries. We got some peaches, plums, pears. We got a lot of different fruit trees. Yes, sir.
So anyway, a little bit of everything available. Michelle, one last question.
Earlier we were saying that this is now sixth generation that your great-great-grandfather started the business. So my question is, how long do the citrus trees last? Do you have any that have been there?
The last time we replanted was in 1989.
Wow.
We had a killing freeze in 89. We had 9 degrees here. So we had to start over from scratch in 1989. But they will last 100 years if Mother Nature says the same and we can keep these invasive pests out of our area.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Well, y'all, once again, we will have all of Paul's information on our website, jfalls.com. You go right there. You don't have to be running for a pencil or a pen right now. We're going to tell you exactly how to get there, and there's going to be some information about Paul Becknell Citrus on the site, so you don't have to worry. And please support our local growers like this. Support guys like Paul who continues. As you mentioned, his son is now getting into the business. Keep these family farms alive, please, by supporting our own first. Paul, we thank you so much for being here with us today. Thank you so much for sharing time and knowledge and, of course, excitement about growing citrus with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Good.
Thanks,
Paul.
So,
Michelle, you're going to make sure your trees are fertilized and going. You're putting a little flavor into them? You're putting a little spraying? Your daddy sprayed them last year, and they were really great.
My daddy sprayed them, and I think that's why I had a bumper crop this year. And I'm serious. Five is a lot.
Five's a lot.
I was excited about
Five's
that.
Five's a lot, except as Paul said, unless you have a roadside fruit stand.
Unless you have roadside fruit stand. And my lemon tree, I've got a lemon.
A lemon.
I've got a lemon this year.
Anyway, y'all, don't you dare go anywhere, because when we come back, I'm going to use a little bit of fruit to cook some great, great mallard ducks. You don't want to miss that.
Yum.
That's where I learned how to sing the blues, down in the orange grove. I learned how to pray to the Lord up above, the very first time I ever tasted love was down in the orange grove, down in the orange grove.
Georges Collinet with you on Afropop Worldwide. Join me this week for Benin Transforming Traditions. You'll hear how creative artists incorporate traditional voodoo rhythms into popular dance music. Talk about polyrhythms. Next time on Afropop Worldwide from PRI, Public Radio International.
Sunday night at 8 on KRVS.
Hi everyone, this is Pat Mitchell-Gorley. Coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan, we have feature artist Ian Siegel, and then we'll hear from Memphis act The Dead Soldiers. Our feature host contributor Adam Hill will be here continuing his series Made in Memphis. That's all coming up next time on Bill Street Caravan.
Tonight at 11 on KRVS.
Comics avec Val. Bienvenue dans le monde francophone. C'est tous les jeudis à 9h sur KRVS, la radio Acadie.
You're listening to KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, and on the web at krvs.org. Find us on Facebook at KRVS Public Media.
Tangerine, she is all a queen, with her eyes of night, lips as bright as flame.
Tangerine. All right, welcome back, everybody, to Stirring It Up, the best tasting food and culture show on radio. And obviously, we're talking about one of our favorite subjects, Louisiana citrus. And before I get too much further into the big show and recipes, I want to find out what's on our Facebook page, Dean. What's happening over there?
All right, y'all. So we've got this Facebook page, and it's happening. I tell you, you ask, what is happening? We're having a lot of people come on and post about all these pictures that Mariette's been posting.
Did you see those new pictures? My melitons are sprouting now. My melitons have leaves on them.
Oh, my gosh. That was fast.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, you know, right after Christmas and at the beginning of the new year, we started to have little shoots shooting up from my melitons. My Israel Thibodeau, I might mention. Huh? Absolutely.
The white ones, the white melitons.
The snow white ones.
So
that's
what's
right.
The next step with that? They just keep growing throughout the year? And...
Well, they keep growing. Now I got a new trellis going in, and, of course, I might mention the hogs are coming. My three new heritage hogs are coming in. My Osabas from Spain, the ones the conquistadors brought over in the 1500s.
Goodness gracious,
the perfect
y'all.
Hog to make those Iberico hams. And, of course, this is boucherie weather, right?
Perfect boucherie weather. Are you kidding?
This boucherie weather. Sure. So the hogs are coming in, and we're going to be raising
them. We're not going to do a boucherie with the hogs.
Well, we know we're going to have our big boucherie festival next year. But right now, we're just kind of getting into it. You know, we raised three. We harvested them, as I would say. And my dad said, never name nothing you're going to eat. So
yeah, we learned that the hard way, Prince Albert.
Yep. So anyway, so
Prince Albert was a calf. Anyway.
Anyway, so so she's got some good pictures. Smokehouse is just fired up, and we're making all of our beautiful hams and bacon, all of our slab bacon. Just came up with a new idea for carving, Michelle, which I thought was a fabulous idea. Uh-huh. You know, we make our bacon on these big slabs, right?
Put
a little citrus juice on them sometimes. Better than citrus.
Now.
Oh, no, absolutely. Brown sugar and citrus juice on bacon.
Oh,
are you kidding
me?
Crack black pepper? But now, Michelle, we warming up the whole slab, the whole belly. And for breakfast, we're carving it off of the whole side rather than having bacon in a pan. So it's coming just like slicing roast. We're slicing bacon.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely, I guess so.
I like that.
I tell you, I amaze myself sometimes. Anyway. So, Slime, I'm sorry, what else is on the big page there? And how?
We encourage our stovehounds to come on by our Facebook
website,
facebook.com/stirringitupradio.
Well, because it's their show. It's their show. We're not doing this for us.
No.
We're doing this. For the first 8 years, we did it for us. But then we started to get a little audience. So now we're doing it for you, and we want you to tell us, trump us or stump us, whatever you want to do. Trump us or stump us.
Come on by to our Facebook
with the best idea you might have for a show, and let us do the research. Everybody, other people want to hear it too. Let us know what it is. Maybe planting a spring garden. I don't know.
Yeah, he's serious, y'all. You come on by with a decent idea.
I love people sharing stuff with us. We like people getting on the phone, talking to us.
So come on, be a member of our community. We're nearing 900 folks out there, and we're having an active discussion pretty much daily. So come on by, with any kind of suggestion.
And don't be upset if we kick you off. Anyway,
look at this picture.
Oh, that's a beautiful picture.
Look at this picture, Slama.
Oh, Bloody Mary. Goodness.
Doesn't that just scream Bloody Mary?
That screams Bloody Mary. That's exactly.
I tell you what.
Anyway, so Slama, Facebook.com/starring, S-T-I-R-R-I-N, Starting It Up Radio. Y'all go to our Facebook page and cut up with us a little bit. Let's have a little fun. Tell us what you want to hear. Seriously, we're very interested in it. Growing some interesting vegetables out there for the spring, or thinking about doing something special in your garden, let us know about it. Let us know what you want to hear us talk about.
Yeah, we need those vegetable pictures for the new vegetable
book. Oh, for the new book? My God, y'all, if you have a garden, or if your uncle has a garden, or your grandfather has a garden, or it's an interesting place, or you have some old antique equipment, and you want to be a part, you want your picture in the greatest encyclopedia, over almost 1,000 pages of everything vegetable, sure to be a hit this year, and you want to be in it, better get off your duff.
Send
us pictures of your garden. Send us some interesting things. We want you to be a part of the new vegetable book.
Absolutely.
Still trying to find out the name for it. I think Michelle and I, over a little glass of wine, we came up with a few ideas.
Mm-hmm. They sounded really good at the time, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we did come up with some good ones.
I didn't like Bury It. I mean, I didn't.
Well, why did you suggest it?
Anyway, so what about books on the subject, Michelle?
Well, the picture I was just showing you a while ago was from one of the books I'm recommending today, Canning for a New Generation, Bold Fresh Flavors for the Modern Pantry by Leanna Krissoff. You know, because with all the citrus, it is a great opportunity. I mean, you kind of preserve citrus by making the Retivia, but there are other ways to do it. So this is a nice book to refer to. Cleaning, preserving, it's a great way to have citrus, this delicious citrus, all year long. The author takes you step by step through the process of proper canning and has excellent recipes for jellies, jams, conserves, candied citrus rind, which doesn't that sound interesting? I'd love to try that.
Fruitcakes. Candied citrus rind, right?
For your fruitcake next year. So it's a great, great book, and I love that Bloody Mary picture. And look at this. Look at these tomatoes.
Yeah, that's really great. That's some great pictures.
Fantastic. Now, the other book I wanted to recommend is called Citrus, Complete Guide to Selecting and Growing More Than 100 Varieties for California, Arizona, Texas, the Gulf Coast, and Florida. Now, take a look at the cover of that book.
Yeah, I love that book. It has all of the beautiful tomatoes on it.
My gosh. It's written by Lance Wallum. It's a great overview of citrus fruit with a very good history section in it. Contains a lot of facts, descriptions of about 80 types of citrus, beautiful photography of the outside of the fruit, as well as cut sections. Gotta love that. It does contain some delicious recipes as well, but mainly this is a book for those who are interested in growing and taking care of their citrus plants and trees. So both of these are fantastic books. We'll have all the information on our website, jfulse.com. Great additions to your culture and culinary library. And you know what's interesting? We're talking about citrus and talking about some of these gorgeous pictures of citrus that we see in these books. One of the things that we've been looking at for our upcoming vegetable book are some of the masterwork paintings of vegetables. There are so many paintings of fruit, but so few of vegetables. I don't understand. We're finding them, but not nearly as many as fruit.
Well, fruit, I think, first of all, fruit lends itself to more creative. I mean, think of bunches of grapes. Think of a branch of satsumas or little oranges, hanging from the branch. I mean, how beautiful that is. And often, I guess...
But those beautiful green leafy vegetables, bunches of carrots, bunches of turnips.
No, of course. Well, we can find them.
We'll find them. I mean, we have found a few. But it's just kind of interesting to realize, and we were already thinking it. We ran into Knock Waxman from Kitchen Arts and Letters a couple of weeks ago.
Up in New York, yeah.
In New York, we were looking at vegetable books, and he had some great paintings in there. No vegetable. And he said, yeah, you know, I don't know why, but there are not as many vegetables.
I had a great idea, though. Remember my idea about
you
the program?
Yeah.
Huh? We're going to ask chefs from around the country to do these beautiful old masters display mm-hmm. of all the different types. One guy will do pumpkins and gourds. Another one will do green leafy. Another one.
We just have to find those.
Well, we
got
to find them. And you know what? We went to the right place, the produce marketing board. And we told them just go to each one of the growers, the tomato growers, the mm-hmm. lettuce growers.
Well, they're
growers.
Not going to find the master painting. We're going to do that.
Oh, no, we're going to find that. Yeah, we're going to find that. Huh?
Yeah.
And if we don't find it, we'll
make it up.
We'll make it up along the way, right? Anyway, what else you got? Is that
those two this week.
But again, y'all, I want to encourage all of you. You know, our books are big and our books are beautiful, and they're always, thank God and thanks to you, they're always big hits. When our books come out, you're excited about it. You encourage us to keep going, and we appreciate that. But you know what we do? We also encourage you to become a part of our big books. There's nothing that will preserve your family, the great work you do in gardens, more so than being on the pages of our books mm-hmm. as letting us know where we can send our photographer. If your grandfather had a shed of old tools, or if you grow the most beautiful vegetable garden in your neighborhood, or whatever. If you think what you do with vegetables or artifacts you may have on old farmer's shed or an old barn or whatever that makes you interesting enough to be in our book as a person on a page, we would love to send our photographer out to you and go ahead and immortalize you, Michelle.
You know, we were talking to Ann and Frank Fitzgerald just the other day. They're from central Louisiana, from Cheneyville, the Cheneyville, Alexandria area. And they were telling us about a great farm, which we were already aware of, Elmwood.
Yeah, Elmwood, right?
Is that right? Englewood.
Englewood.
That they are doing some fantastic things in growing vegetables and sustainable organic farming.
Well,
and Covey Rise
right over there, Glazier Farms right across the river. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. What we're looking for is these individual growers as well as the spectacular growers. So
yes.
We do, though. If you know somebody who has a great garden, you can really just go to our website, jfalls.com. If you go to jfalls.com and say, we know someone, we would love to have them in our new book, which is going to be out for Christmas this year, right?
That's right.
So, anyway, are you ready for a recipe?
Of course.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You know hunting season just ended, right? Mm-hmm. Just almost ended. There's still some folks out there hunting.
So but, probably have a lot of freezers filled with
hay. I'll tell you what, the ducks were great last season. Mm. And all of you who have teal ducks or mallard ducks or a speckle belly goose in the freezer and you don't quite know what to do with them, please don't take the breast off and wrap it around a jalapeno with some cheese and a bacon and throw
hey,
it on the grill.
Now.
I say please don't if you have this option.
If right.
Oh, no, that's a great hors d'oeuvre, but I'm talking about center of the plate I'm looking for people
see.
To do. I want you to do my Louisiana mallard duck in mandarin glaze. Mm. Or blood orange glaze, or satsuma glaze. And citrus fruit are so often used to enhance the flavor of wild game. Just think duck a la orange, the most famous of all French duck dishes.
That's true.
Duck with orange. But citrus really enhances the flavor of duck. The acid is really great on it, and this recipe calls for mandarins, but hey, y'all, feel free to substitute kumquats or oranges or tangerine satsumas. You'll achieve pretty much the same results. Now, what I'm going to encourage you to do is to take either a big speckled belly goose or to take, in this particular case, three mallard ducks.
Good night. Three?
Well, mallards aren't that big. I mean, okay, four teals. All right. Four,
we just went up.
Five, okay, six teals or four wood ducks.
Well, teal are smaller, but three. How many people are you feeding?
What are you talking about? With three ducks, six people, everybody gets a half. A half a duck, I mean, it's not that much. What,
all
breast
right.
meat and a little leg portion? Come on.
It sounds like a lot.
Let's say you go into the camp. Okay, let's say 15 mallards, okay? Anyway, y'all, take the mallards. Make sure they're nice and clean and dressed, of course, and always pick those that's not busted up too bad, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Busted
you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah.
Make sure you get the shot out of them.
Yeah,
what
well, not necessarily. I mean, the shot tells you they're real. Even in the restaurants of Europe, if you bite into a shot, you know that they're coming off the moors of London.
All I can say is that's good marketing, so you're not sued. Going to the since you got to go to the dentist.
Anyway, three-mile ducks, y'all. Make sure they clean and dress, and the more beautiful they are, the more the cleaner those breasts are, the better they look. I'm going to take six mandarins or satsumas. I'm going to peel them, keep the peelings, of course, and I'm going to section the fruit itself. I'm going to season those mallards beautifully, inside and out, salt, pepper, granulated garlic, a little cayenne pepper. Rub it really well into it. You might also want to consider brining. Brining your goose or brining your ducks. I have great brining recipes on my website. You can go right to my website and brine, consisting of brown sugar and cane syrup and herbs and spices that really beautifully enhance and moisturize game. Go ahead.
I've always heard you talking about brining a duck, but I didn't know you did that with turkeys.
Duck, venison. Brining is a great way of adding 15% more liquid or juice or moisture to game. And you brine for 24 hours. I have a great brine recipe using brown sugar and cane syrup and salt and herbs and spices. And I would recommend that. It's available on the website. If you don't want to do that, of course, just season it nicely with salt, pepper, granulated garlic. Rub it inside and out of the breast. Then inside of the cavity, y'all, you're going to divide up slices of 3 cups of diced onion. So you can put that inside the breast, inside the cavity. 2 cups of diced celery, just kind of coarsely diced. You can divide that up. Bell pepper, if you wish. Carrots can go into it as well. And, of course, some of those orange sections. Remember, keep that peel. Once the ducks are seasoned, into a large Dutch oven. And by the way, preheat your oven to 375. In a large Dutch oven, I would go ahead and brown my ducks beautifully. Just kind of go ahead and turn them in a little bit vegetable oil and brown them. You want to make sure you're browning them long and slow. I like to make sure they evenly brown. Then, after they're all brown, you want to put the ducks in a large Dutch oven or roasting pan, and they still have all of the seasonings in the cavity, all those onions and citrus and everything else. Then around the, before I put the ducks into that big Dutch oven or roasting pan, I would put the remaining diced onion, celery, bell peppers, carrots, garlic that didn't fit into the ducks around the bottom of the pan, as well as the peels of the oranges or citrus or whatever you want to do, just satsumas.
You kind of get that essence.
Oh, my God, yes. But anyway, y'all, hit recipe on the website. We'll see you next week.
Gene Redpath travelled from Scotland to the US in 1961 and quickly became immersed in the American folk scene. She's performed throughout the world since then and won the hearts of public radio listeners through her frequent appearances on A Prairie Home Companion. Join me and Gene Redpath this week on The Thistle and Shamrock.
Coming up Sunday evening at 6, here on KRVS.
T'was on the summer's end.
Tune in every Saturday night at midnight for The Diamond Sea, a weekly mixtape featuring the best in independent music from the 80s, 90s, and today. Here on 88.7 KRVS, public radio for Acadiana.
Hey, this is Dallas Green from City & Color, inviting you to visit E-Town this week. I'll be joined by Nick and Helen and the winner of the E-Achievement Award. That's this week in E-Town.
Tuesday at noon on KRVS.
Public Radio for Acadiana, KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
We'll be right back.